Warning, the radio broadcast you're about to hear was made by men and for men. It may at times seem a little rough around the edges, brash, and certainly not canonically approved by papal authority, but its content may indeed challenge you to become the man, father, or husband God has called you to be. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the latest edition of The Obligation. My name is Jason Murphy. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Here we are, 2022. Everything has come up so quickly, and now it's behind us, and here we go into a new year. Isn't that how it always goes? Started thinking about what to discuss today. So distracted in this world. Everywhere distraction and things that are pulling us this way, things that are pulling us that way. Had the COVID run through the family last week. So many things going on the recovery, on the rebound. So many people around us, it sounds like, have caught this latest strand, this Omicron variant. Some have fared fairly well, and others are, seem to have taken it a bit worse and have been hospitalized. We've heard of some who've passed away from COVID recently, and it looks a whole lot like 2021 over again. Happy Groundhog's Day. That'll be here soon enough as well. So I was trying to think what to talk about. What do we do? We're always thinking about the new year and what we can change and what we can implement in our lives and what we've done last year and how we can do it better this year. So it brought me to the word motivate. What motivates you? Motivate comes from the Latin word movere, and motivation is dated back to the 1800s. It's the act or process of furnishing with an incentive or inducement to action. Perhaps borrowed from German, where motivation is attested by 1854, physiological use, inner or social stimulus for action. So what is this action? What is our motivation? Where are we going and how are we going to get there? The upcoming men's conference on March 5th of this year, the theme is Quo Vadis. Where are you going? We hear the saying Quo Vadis each year from the Seminary of St. Joseph here in Charlotte. The diocese offers a week-long vocation retreat for young men considering a vocation to the priesthood, and it's always been called Quo Vadis. Where are you going? The term Quo Vadis refers to the reference in Scripture, Luke chapter 24, verse 13 and following. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood, their face downcast. One of them, named Cleophas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the peoples. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our own women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they did not find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them in reply, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when they were at table, he broke the bread, gave thanks, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us? So we see here this idea of the apostles not recognizing our Lord just days after he was crucified. So I think that's how it is in our own lives. Even days or minutes or seconds after things have been revealed to us, or miracles that we've seen, or inspirations where we acknowledge God and enjoy his presence or his peace, and yet something else comes along and all of a sudden we don't even know where God is, who God is, or what happened. And I think with the turn of a new year, especially a year like going from 21 to 22, with all the things going on in our world, just the general disassociation of people and this disconnect, there's just not a lot of harmony. There's not a lot of peace. And it's so easy to forget who we are, created in the image and likeness of God, and not just us, but every other person. Every person is created in the image and likeness of God, and why we can't remember that we need to treat them as such. And this is tough, even in our own homes, especially with lockdowns and COVID and extended Christmas school vacations due to these lockdowns. We thought the kids were going to be going back this week, and now they're back for another week at home because of the COVID protocols that are going on. So it's difficult. Cabin fever is real. It's tough being around our families that long, especially when the order and the structure of school and the rigor of the daily schedule is removed for a week or 2 weeks and we're cooped up. I think we're all feeling it. So what do we do about that? We just came through such a beautiful time of the year with our Advent practices leading us up to Christmas, the great octave, beautiful feast of Christmas, followed by the feast of the Holy Family, and now the Epiphany. Christmas season is now winding down. We just came from top of the mountain. But here we are again, looking at ourselves and thinking, why do we feel the way we feel? Why are we not motivated? Why are we not on fire with our Lord? Were not our hearts on fire with him, right? Through this whole period in this beautiful time of the church liturgy, we're united with the church, and yet we come back down off that mountain, and just like the apostles of old, we forget. We so quickly forget. So what motivated the apostles? They, of course, just went through the persecution and the crucifixion of their Lord, and then he died and was gone, and they had to be motivated. He had to reappear to them. He enkindled that fire again. But we're stubborn. We are stubborn creatures. We just had the lights of Advent fully lit, and the celebration of Christmas with all its pomp and circumstance and beauty and decoration and lights. And we're back. We're back. We toss the tree, the lights are down, and here we go, back to the grind. No, we can't do that. We can't do that. We've got to stay motivated. So if we want to stay motivated, we have to stay engaged. What do we need to be engaged in? We need to be engaged in our faith, in the liturgy. We've been talking about this for weeks, how we move, we ebb, and we flow with the liturgy, and we go with the high times of the church liturgy, and we celebrate. And then, of course, we know we step back down to some ordinary time, some time after Christmas, and then we prepare. We're going to start seeing signs and preparation for Lent. Lent is just around the corner. And we're going to ride that Lenten period, and we're going to absorb ourselves into that suffering and that humility and that penance during that time, so that our souls can be ready. But we'll be reminded in the midst of Lent, Laetare Sunday, Rejoice Sunday, that will come upon us and remind us why it is we're suffering. And then we'll be brought to the beautiful feast of Easter, and the joys and all the glory will reemerge, just like our Lord emerged from the tomb. We will float with the church, with the liturgy. So we must stay engaged. You know, we can't just lay it all down. Now that Christmas is over and we're in this period of time, we have to stay engaged. We have to keep up our prayer. We have to keep up our readings, following along with the liturgy, digging deeper into Scripture, exploring some of the hidden meanings there that the Holy Spirit wants to inspire us with, and take this out to the world, starting in our homes. Carry them out, send them out one by one with our kids, with our co-workers, with our friends and church members, and carry those lights on. We've got to protect the lights. There's a lot of wind going on out there, a lot of wind, a lot of rain out in the world, everything, you know, trying to swat that light of faith out in our lives. And we've just got to remember it's going to be attacked. We know that. You know, it's just like jumping in the boxing ring. You know, a boxer knows he's going to get punched. That's fact. You know, he's just, the way he handles himself and the way he absorbs a punch and is able to give a punch back, it's gonna balance, you know, where he is in that. If he goes in there in fear, he's going to be more concerned about the opponent. He's going to be more concerned about his opponent rather than himself. So, like ourselves, we cannot live in fear. With faith, there is no fear. We trust in God in all things. We don't let that fear rule our lives. We channel that fear will come, but it's how we manage it. It's how we deal with it, how we cope with it. So the other day, I was not feeling very motivated to go to the gym. And sometimes those days that I don't go to the gym are some of the best days. And when I leave the gym are some of the days that I feel the best. And so it's going to be the same in life. It's going to be the same in each circumstance. Our faith is going to be tested. We're not going to feel motivated many times. Maybe things aren't going our way. Maybe there's a lot of distraction. Maybe there's a lot of heartache. Maybe there's a lot of suffering going on around us. It becomes difficult to bear. It's not very motivating. What is motivating is the cross. We look at the cross. We know our Lord. He entered the Garden of Eden. He sweat blood and tears and knew what was coming, yet he continued on and marched forward, carrying his cross, lifting up the cross for our sins, placing himself on that cross as a sacrifice for our lives, for our souls. So in that model, we look at these things around us that are trying to take us away, that are trying to demotivate us, and we push forward through them regardless. We're not going to feel motivated maybe to stop in the church. But just like going to the gym, those are the times that we're going to get the biggest reward, the times that we push ourselves beyond what we think we're capable of. Even in the world of exercise, the times that we push ourselves, if we get on an exercise regimen, or we're running, or we're working out, or going to the gym, or eating healthy, or dieting, you know, the first step is always the most difficult, you know, getting that motivation to get going. But we know, once we push ourselves beyond what we think we're capable of, we always are better for it. The same with our faith. You know, if we push ourselves beyond what we think we're capable, or we want to, you know, feel like, or we want to feel that we're capable of, we're always going to come out better. You're never going to go wrong by picking up Scripture. You're never going to go wrong by going to sit in the church for a few minutes. You're never going to go wrong by sitting down with your family and discussing spiritual things or liturgical things. You know, these things aren't going to get you in trouble. So where are you going? St. Peter says to our Lord in John chapter 13, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will be able to follow later. So where is this? It's a bigger picture. It's like the road to Emmaus. They asked where he was going. They did not understand that he was going to his Father in heaven. They were more concerned about the physical aspect where he was going, because they longed to be with him. We long to be with our Lord, but it's not here. It's not a physical longing that we ultimately are looking for. It is an eternal longing that we desire, longing for heaven. We want to go to heaven. That is where we are ultimately going. How do we get there? Well, where are you going in your daily lives? Are you going to the bar? Are you going to places that are going to lead you astray? Are you going to hang around people that are not going to help you get to heaven? This is how we find out where we're going. It's where we're going in our daily lives. It's how we're going about our daily lives. Are we going to Scripture to solve our problems? Are we going to prayer to solve our problems? Or are we going to the internet and whatever lurks about on the hidden pages of the internet? Are we going to Facebook and Instagram or social media looking for these answers from other people? Are we going to our Lord? This is how we determine where we are going. So how are we going to get there? How are we going to do this? We're going to do it step by step, bit by bit, piece by piece, little by little. Where are you going to go when you're done listening to this show? What's your next step? We have to know. We have to have a plan. Mike Tyson, one of my favorites. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. But at least if you have a plan, you can come back, right? We know we're going to get punched in the mouth. This world is doing everything it can to punch us in the mouth. It wants to punch us in our mouth so that we turn our backs on our family. It wants to punch us in our mouth so we turn our backs on our church. So we turn our backs on our politicians, our leaders, our friends, our fellow parishioners. It wants to distract us from doing what we're supposed to be doing. But the goal is to follow our plan. Our plan is heaven. We know that. It's a long plan. Could be a short plan. The plan may end today. That's why it's important to take each step. But we have to have that plan. What is the goal? From there, there's many other steps. We can take a map. We can fold it out. We can be in Charlotte and point to Los Angeles and say, well, that's my plan. Well, that's not your plan. Your plan is going to have to involve, number one, how are you going to get there? Are you going to drive yourself? You're going to get on a train? You're going to get on a bus? You're going to fly? What's your route? Most likely these days, looking at the flights, you're probably going to drive. So let's say you got to drive. How are you going to drive? You got to know if your vehicle is going to make it. You got to know if it's going to have enough fuel, when you're going to fuel, what interstates you're going to take, what side roads you're going to take. There's so many details. You have to have this beforehand. Yes, you can jump in your car and start driving west, and ultimately you may get there, you may not. Been watching a little cowboy series. They're talking about going west, heading west. Sounds great. The West has all the answers. The West has gold. The West has land. The West has cattle. But the West also has Indians. It has rivers. It has bandits. You need to be able to be prepared for these things. Yes, heaven does have gold, the ultimate gold, the gold of the tabernacle of our Lord. And heaven does have all these things we desire innately. We're made for. We are made for heaven. Heaven is our ultimate goal. It's where we are called. But there are going to be many things that get in our way on our way to heaven. That's what sin did to the world. That's what the devil will do to us. He wants our soul like our Lord does. So all these little things get in the way, and it may not be for two or three steps beyond. Start making our way across the interstate. Might not be for a couple states until a roadblock pops up. May seem like we're making good headway, good time, but that foundation has to be solid. We have to build it on good soil. So speaking about a journey, we are now celebrating the Feast of the Epiphany, the journey of the three wise men who left Herod and sought after our Lord. And they were told in a dream, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So the three wise men, Gaspar, Melchior, Balthazar, they left and they brought these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to our Lord. Gold, we know, is symbolic of the kingship of our Lord. Frankincense, used in liturgical worship, used to show the praise and the honor and the prayer given to our Lord. And finally, myrrh is a fragrance that the dead bodies would be anointed with to hide the smell and preserve the body. and they presented these gifts to our Lord. And it gives us thought to what are we presenting to our Lord? What are we bringing to Him? So we talk about this journey and where we are going. Okay, well, we're on the journey. Our intentions are good, but what else? It's more than our intentions. I was talking to the kids the other day about the road to hell paved with good intentions. There are many things that we want to do or should do, think about doing, and we never do. So if we're doing this, if we're on this path, we're on this journey, we have this plan ahead of us, seeking our Lord, ultimately getting to heaven, how are we doing it? What are we carrying with us? What are we offering our Lord? What is our gold? What is our frankincense? What is our myrrh? Is it our suffering and our offering up of our penances and our struggles in this world, the persecutions we may receive, the ill treatment from our fellow man? Are we bringing contempt? Are we bringing pride? Are we bringing joy and long-suffering? What are we taking on this journey with us? We, like the wise man, we're seeking out. We're following that star. It's not going to change until we get there. The wise men went, and the light never went away. They followed until they arrived, and that's how we should be. There probably were distractions on their way. There were probably naysayers saying, oh, you're seeking out something you'll never find, or you're just being manipulated by Herod. Don't go that way. You know, go somewhere else. You're just being used. All these things, all of these negative connotations, all of these distractions that the world and our friends and our family and the flesh and the devil will throw at us, but they persisted on. They made this journey to find the babe in the stable at Bethlehem. That is what we are doing. We are like the wise men. We are crossing the desert. We have our eyes fixed on the star of heaven. What are we bringing with us? What can we do? What can we pick up along the way? What can we leave along the way? What are we bringing with us right now that needs to be left off? Are we holding on to resentment, holding on to pride, holding on to distractions, to social media? Are we picking up prayer, picking up scripture, picking up the fine example we can make to our family, carrying that with us? On a journey like that, I would think that we would gather more with us, more like-minded with us when they see what we're carrying. Some will want to carry it with us to help us carry it. There will certainly be Simeons out there who will see that we're carrying a difficult time, a difficult situation, but we're lifted up by their prayer, by their support. How can we be a Simeon to others? Who around us is suffering? Who else has a cross around us? We're all carrying sin, and those sin comes from some cross. So I invite you, the year 2022, let us set a goal, a chart, with a goal of heaven, and let's accomplish that day by day. It'll get boring, it'll get monotonous, it'll get hot, it'll get cold, it'll get scary, it'll get whatever else comes along the way. But we know we'll have no fear. There is no fear in faith. There is no fear in knowing that our Lord has already done everything for us. We just have to cooperate with the grace. There's a great tradition about blessing of homes using Epiphany chalk around the Feast of the Epiphany. It dates back where blessed chalk is blessed by the priest at the church, and then the parishioners can take this chalk back, and they can mark over their doors on the door lintel or on the door, marking the names, the initials of the names of the three wise men. It starts off, so you would write 20, so 20, and then plus, or a small cross, and then the initials of the three wise men, Caspar, C, and then a plus sign, and then Melchior, an M, and then another plus sign or cross, and finally B for Balthazar. And then at the end, you would do another plus sign, and the year 22. So you'd have 20 plus C plus M plus B plus 22. And this takes root from back in the days of the Israelites, when the Israelites placed blood on the doorpost so that the angel of death would pass over their homes. So, symbolic of this, it shows that we're consecrating our house to the Lord. and that the wise men, the people who dwell within, still seek our Lord. And it's a beautiful tradition. Some churches may still offer the chalk. I would think even if you didn't have the blessed chalk, you could still mark your home, and that be a sight to all who visit and know that your house is consecrated to the Lord. And that's one small thing, a little small tradition, again, getting back involved with the tradition and the movement of the church, the liturgy, and preparing. And then you would change this each year. You would remark it, so next year you would just change the last part to the 23. So you can look that up online, find more about that. Quo Vadis, where are you going? I got a suggestion. You probably already know what I'm going to say. March 5th, 2022. Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas, coming to St. Thomas Aquinas once again. Fabulous day, great reset button. Help you press it. Have an awesome day set up, full of great speakers, motivators, inspiration, convert stories, guys who left and came back, guys who were on the wrong path and finally made their way. Tim Staples, Catholic apologist for Catholic Answers. Keith Nestor, wonderful convert story. EWTN's own Dr. Ray Gurundy, family life therapist and speaker. And Dr. John Aquaviva, host of Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. Wonderful day. There'll be confessions all day. If you haven't made your yearly confession, which you're required to do, stay in line with the church. It's a great opportunity. Multiple priests available. Don't have to go face to face. Don't have to know who they are. They don't have to know who you are. Great chance to get it all off your chest, clean it off, get started, get ready. It's going to take place the first week of Lent. If you're looking for some penance, hey, turn it into some penance. Or if you're looking to do something positive, no better way to get started. Our own Bishop Jugas will be there, along with the seminarians of the Diocese of Charlotte. Mass, rosary, lunch provided. Beautiful day. Look forward to being there. Look forward to seeing you there. You can go online, www.catholicmenofthecarolinas.org. Use the promo code RADIO, save $5. I just got through recording the latest episode of the Ministry Minute featuring Tina Witt. Tina is the coordinator for the March for Life Charlotte. She's been involved for many years. It's a great apostolate. It's a great work. March for Life is coming up on January 14th. They will gather at 11 a.m. in the parking lot at the corner of West Palmer and South Church Street. The march will begin promptly at noon. It's a great day to go out and stand for the sanctity of human life. They'll march from the Diocese Center to Trade and Tryon, where there will be speakers, including Father Ernest from St. Patrick's Cathedral. They'll kick it off that day with Mass over at St. Vincent's at 9 a.m. You can find out more by going to marchforlifecharlotte.com and listen out for the latest episode of the Ministry Minute. I'd like to once again thank our new sponsor, Harmony Home Solutions. They're your trusted partner in striving to enhance the lives of older adults and their families by providing premier aging-in-place and universal design lifestyle solutions that increase safety beautifully. You can find more about Harmony Home Solutions at www.hhsclt.com. Remember that Carolina Catholic Media Network is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, and we rely on your support. First, by your prayers. Secondly, by your monetary donations. Every contribution counts. If you're a parish or business, please contact us directly. Learn more about the other ways that you can sponsor or partner with us. We've got different pledge levels which will suit to your interest. We're 100% listener supported. We appreciate donations of any denomination because they contribute to the work that we are doing to bring the Word of God to our Catholic community, to the Charlotte surrounding area. Carolina Catholic Radio Network is a listener-supported nonprofit radio apostolate. We use the airwaves to transform people's lives through spiritual enrichment. We broadcast relevant national and local programs to educate, encourage, inform, and inspire, no matter where our listeners may be on their journey of faith. You can go online, www.carolinacatholicradio.org, click that donate button, and we would greatly appreciate it. Quo Vadis, where are you going? Let 2022 be the year that you can say for sure that you know you're going to heaven. For the Obligation Radio Show, the Carolina Catholic Media Network, and the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas, my name is Jason Murphy. God bless, and esto vivo.